I was thinking this morning how I know that none of you came here, and I've said this before, expecting to leave the same. And I am so encouraged by you, and my prayer for you this morning is that you would be encouraged and lifted up, and that you would not leave church today feeling the same as when you came in. And I just wanted to release that over you, just a spirit of encouragement, and understand that you have so much power. Like, you all have so much power. And in Matthew, Jesus said that God had given him all authority and power over everything. So, all authority and power over everything. And the reason that God gave Jesus all authority and power over everything as a human here is because he also said, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me to do it. He submitted himself to the lordship of God. And so, if Jesus did that, and we are partaking and going with Jesus as a son of God and the sonship of God, then we too, as we submit ourselves to the lordship of who God is, then we have power and authority over all things. Yes. So do you kind of get that? Like, Jesus had that, and you don't get to have it just because you're a human and God loves you. You only get to have power and authority over all things when you submit yourself to the lordship of who God is. And when you determine, I'm only going to do and say what I hear my Father do and say. So if you're feeling like powerless, and you're feeling like the devil just takes you out every week and you don't have any power or authority, then there's a few things I would encourage you to do. And the first thing is you need to submit yourself to the lordship of who God is. You need to say, God, you are my God. You are my Lord. I'm not my own God, but you are my God. And then you determine, I'm only going to do and say what God tells me to do, right? And so that's another key for having that. And then you partner with who Jesus is and start declaring and decreeing in your life that God has said you can have. Because we know God's word is true. So if you are declaring and decreeing the word of God, then it's activated. You have the power and authority. You don't have power and authority to declare things that God didn't say. You're going to fail in that area. So if you are trying to declare and call into action something that is not what God said, it's probably going to fail, and you can't blame God for that. So this only works when you line up with what God is saying and you submit yourself to him. But then when you do, oh my gosh, God has let you join in with what Jesus has, power and authority over all things on heaven and earth. Isn't that awesome? Like, I got so excited and jazzed in the car. I was thinking about that because there's no limit. There's no limitation to what you can have in your life when you get in line and partner with God and what he says over your life. I just think that's amazing. When I was a child, I would hear a lot of these things. And, you know, if you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And we can have all these things. And God has the cattle on 1,000 hills, you know, all of this stuff. And I would think, okay, so there's this everything available to me in the spiritual realm somehow. And I just have to learn to tap into it, right? Have any of you ever, and then I'll be a superwoman. Like, that's kind of how I felt. And if I could just figure that out and like tap into that, then I'll have, you know, have all this. But it's not like a crazy superhero thing. It's real that God says you can move mountains when you line yourself up with the will of God in your life. And so I just want to encourage you guys today. And as Darren preaches, he's got such a great word, and I'm excited about it. And it's what we've been, it's just something's been stirring lately, right? And so I'm just super excited about that. And I want to bless you with that. And I want to reemphasize, because I'm a teacher person. So reemphasize, it's not when you just declare what you want. I'm telling you, get in line with what God says he has over your life. So remember the word when Dale came last week was so good. Some of you wrote down what God said to you, right? I did. I just kind of closed my mind and I just started writing down what God was saying to me. And it was powerful. So when you get in line with what God says over you, then you need to take authority and you can change your house. You can change your relationships. You can change your neighborhoods. You can change your workplace. You can change everything around you. And if nothing in your life is changing, then you might not be in line with what God says over your life. So get in line. And I just bless you. I want to encourage you with that, okay? It's going to be an awesome everything. Yeah. Like, we're at the cusp of new awesome stuff. So you guys just get empowered, right? Be powered up. Love you. Aww.
Let's turn over to, man, Jennifer, that was awesome. And I'm biased, but I feel like Jennifer is kind of already like a superwoman, is what I feel like. I may be biased, but probably not. But let's turn over to Ephesians 4. Ah, that is a good one. And I'm just gonna read a few things here. And there's a couple things that I really feel like God wanted me to share this morning. I don't know how well they go together, but He'll figure that out, right? I'll just start talking, and the Holy Spirit will take care of it. So I want to pray for you before I start talking. I just bless you. I bless you this morning. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would go before me, bypass any of the flesh, any of the stuff that would get in the way, Father. And I just ask that your word and your spirit, that there would be an impartation spirit to spirit from you to me to the people that you want to bless today. So I bless your ears. I bless your heart. I bless your eyes to receive everything that God is pouring out to you, even if it's not something that I'm actually saying. God will minister to everybody what he needs to, and he'll use this message to do it, right? Amen. So let's take a look at Ephesians 4. And in the ERV, it says, unity of the body. He writes, "So as a prisoner of the Lord, I beg you to live the way God's people should live, because he chose you to be his. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient and accept each other with love. You are joined together with peace through the Spirit. Do all you can to continue as you are, letting peace hold you together. There's one body and there's one Spirit, and God chose you to have one hope. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one God and Father of us all who rules over everyone. He works through all of us and in all of us." All right, we're going to skip ahead really quickly to verses 12 and 13. He had talked about spiritual giftings. "Christ gave these gifts to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving, to make the body of Christ stronger. This work must continue until we're all joined together in what we believe and in what we know about the Son of God. Our goal is to become like a full-grown man, to look just like Christ, and to have all his perfection. We're a many-membered body, but Christ has come so that we could take these disparate, separate parts, and we could all be one. And the only way that happens is by the Spirit. We know, because we see in the news, we see at our work, we see in our lives, we see because we've all been to school, and we see, you know, divisions among people. When we try and get together on our own because it's a good idea, we mess it up." Amen. Right? We just do, because people have egos, and people have fears, and people have doubts, and people have histories that they don't want to tell. People have secrets. We got all this stuff going on that gets in the way of unity. But in the Spirit, we don't have that. In the Spirit, we're free from all of those things. That's one of the things that I want to talk about today. Jennifer was talking about taking authority. I want to talk about that specifically as it relates to relationships, because what I'm reading in here in Ephesians 4, he's talking about relationships. And can I just venture this statement out here? It is all about relationships. Everything is relationships, right? Whether it's to another person, or how I view myself, or the relationship that God and I share. I mean, if I've got those three things named, I can't think of too many places I can go where there's not a relationship that corresponds, right? Because I'm always with me. You know, if I've got that to deal with, that's enough. But it's all about relationships. And I know that, you know, at times we've been hitting on this. God's really been stirring this issue in our church specifically about connection to the Father, connection to one another, unity of the body, unity of the smaller body here that we are, but unifying us with other bodies who are representing Christ around. And if we're not careful, we can take a look at talking about relationships and think it's not a big deal, Relationships. Oh, I get that. Yeah, relationships. All right. Be nice to one another and all that. Relationships. Relationships are everything. They are everything. And the way that we approach them and the spirit that we choose to approach them with makes the difference between success and failure. Right? I want to take a little side note and go over to Galatians 5:16. I wrote it down because it takes me forever to like scroll there and stuff. So I just wrote it down. I'm using old school methods. They still work. As long as the pen works, it'll work. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the spirit and you won't, in the ERV, walk in the spirit and you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. There's you know, the version that I think it's the New King James says, walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh, right? Now, those desires of the flesh aren't always our desires, right? Sometimes I desire better things, but worse things than what I really wanted happen. So how does that happen? And I've been thinking about this and thinking about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness and the insidious way, because if you believe there's God, I believe you have to believe that there's a devil, right? There's an enemy. There's always, in literature, there's always the protagonist and the antagonist, the one who's working against them. And so there's a God who wants our good. There's an enemy who doesn't, right? Now, when I was growing up, I was raised Catholic, and then I was out of church for a long time, and then I came here. The view that I had of the devil, the view that I had of the, you know, the enemy. I don't know how Darth Vader plays into that, but it's fun to do. The view that I got from literature, the view that I got from media, the view that I got from movies was that this enemy was somebody that I needed to be afraid of, someone that I needed to watch out for, because if I wasn't careful, he was going to just take over everything, whether I wanted it to happen or not, right? I had no power against this, you know, huge force of, you know, demonic oppression and all that kind of thing. The enemy gets built up in our minds. I know that we know, though, that the devil isn't somebody to fear. One of the things that has been striking me lately, and I've been told a lot, man, I really like the message that you preach. It's so simple. It's so, you know, but it's good though. I love it when people do that. It's so simple. Nope, but it's good. It's good though. So I have no other mode than simple. So I know that a lot of the things I say, you already know, but sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to remind us of some things, right? And that's my job. I'm the reminder. That's a superhero name right there. The reminder and God woman. We're a couple. So what I understand and what God has really been showing me again, reminding me of over this last week and a half, was that we have, as Jennifer was saying, God has given us all the power, all the authority. And of course, that comes with responsibility, right? With great power comes great responsibility. I can't get away from superhero stuff. With great power comes great responsibility. But God has given us all of this incredible power and authority if we're submitted in line with him, right? The power isn't mine. I'm just like, I'm brokering it for the Lord, right? The power doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. If I'm in agreement and if I'm in line with him, then the power flows through me. And that's when you get, you know, that's when you get Ezekiel 36:27. I'll put my spirit in you and I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. Luke 10. I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing can hurt you. Matthew 16:19. I give you the key of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Right? That's who you are. In the spirit, that's who you are. That's who I am. That is the way that we were designed to walk. So why does it go wrong? It's because we're gullible and forgetful. And we underestimate the the power of, you know, of the voice that we hear. It occurs to me, like I'm looking at in Jesus in the wilderness, and the devil came to tempt him, by the Spirit. The Lord allowed, God allowed the devil to come and tempt him. And that's pretty much the extent of what he was allowed to do, right? The devil had no authority there. The devil had no creative power there. All of the creative power, all of the authority, all of the mojo and the juice to actually make something happen rested in Jesus. And the enemy's only hope was, okay, if I can just phrase this in a way that trips him up a little bit, not even that he would have had to do anything physically, but the agreement is what he was looking for. It was the agreement, because as we know, when two or more are gathered together, there's a power in that. There's a synergy. God honors agreement. And we know that with the creative power that he's endowed us with, the things that we come into agreement with, those are the things that we see. Those are the things that get manifested in our lives. Those are the, you know, and classic self-fulfilling prophecy example. If somebody voices out long enough, yeah, I'm just no good at that, then they're no good at that. And it's not that they couldn't be good in that, it's that they've convinced themselves. They've come into agreement with an identity that is not theirs. They've come into agreement with a plan that God didn't have for them. And they've made that their reality. You know, and I know, we have the power given to us from God to create our own reality, to create our own environment. God wants it to be the one that he decreed for us, not the one that he said, don't do that. Stay away from that. So it was very encouraging for me this week to be reminded again by the Holy Spirit that, you know what? The enemy is nothing to fear. All he can do is say, hey, would you agree with this? And maybe if you agree with that, would you maybe tell somebody? Because that would really help me out a lot. He's like the world's worst network marketer, right? That's my sale. I've told Bill this before. Because Bill is like a sales guy. Like you do it. It's a gift, right, that I just don't have. And I've told Bill before, like my go-to sales pitch is, like, you wouldn't want to, like, buy anything, right? That's it. That's all I've got. That's my A game right there. You wouldn't want to buy anything. Okay, I didn't think so. That's it. Consequently, I've never sold anything that wasn't on Craigslist that I didn't have to talk to somebody about. You know, it's like, because Craigslist is that way. It's like, hey, I'm going to put that picture. You wouldn't want to buy that, right? It's fine. Email me if you want to buy it. You know, it's like, it's geared for me. And I appreciate that. But as it turns into like real face-to-face sales, I don't want to put anybody out. So my sales pitch is, you know what? Never mind. You probably don't want to buy anything. But that's the way the enemy is approaching Jesus. Like, you know what? Check me if I'm wrong on this, but I think that he said, if you're the Son of God, you could turn those stones into bread, right? And gave Jesus the opportunity to come into agreement with that and get out of line with what God wanted him to be doing. So what did he do instead? Somebody say it. What did he do instead? What did he combat that with? The Word of God. The Word of God. Right? We can't go wrong by studying this, by learning this. What am I supposed to get into agreement with? This! Not my iPad. The Bible that's on my iPad. That's how weird denominations are born. It's like, oh, holy iPad, how we love thee. But what do we come into agreement with? We come into agreement with whatever it is that God said. And if I come into agreement with that, then the creative power and the authority that I have, that he gave to me, just intensifies, and I see things manifest in my life. I see stuff happen. I see stuff happen. And this becomes a really important aspect. I mentioned earlier on, this becomes a really important aspect of our relationships, because it's really easy to get comfortable with a relationship, especially one that you've had a really long time. and to begin over time to listen to voices that are trying to tell you something about that person that God isn't saying about that person, right? I was reading a while back, I was reading a couple books. I read Blink and Subliminal, which I really love, you know, talking about how we view things, thin slicing things, how our brain takes all this information and kind of puts it together. And in one of those books, it was talking about the inaccuracy of eyewitness testimony and how eyewitness testimony has been proven again and again and again and again to be so unreliable. You ask somebody, well, what did you see? If you ask them what they are seeing in the moment, in the natural, like if you ask me, what am I seeing? I could name a lot of people and I could count the chairs and I could talk about the color of the carpet and all the words that are, and I could be very specific with what is actually going on right now. But if you ask me in a week, what was happening during that service? It's going to be a very different description, very far less detailed, far less accurate, because our memories for what's actually happening are not very good. But our emotional memory for how we felt when that was happening is astoundingly good. There are emotions that we just won't let go of, right? That's why we get into situations like somebody, you're having a discussion with somebody and you're feeling an authority figure or something, and they're needing to give you some correction. And emotionally, you feel like they're yelling at you, even if they're not, right? Have you ever had that happen? Like, oh, I can't believe it. He was so rude. What did he actually say? He said, I need to stop coming in late. Oh, is that, how did he say it? Well, he was just yelling. He was just so angry. Maybe not. Maybe the fear that you were feeling and maybe the emotional baggage that you were carrying into that was influencing that conversation, and you're remembering it farther from the fact differently than it happened. Our emotional memories are astounding. Our memories for actually what's happening in the moment may be not so good. So we bring that at times, and this is another thought I'm having, and hopefully this goes with the last thought I was having. So eyewitness testimony proven to be really unreliable because people see things through an emotional state. We see things through a lens, and that lens is created by all of the stuff that's happened to us in the past, all the times we've been hurt, all the times we've been broken, all the times that stuff has gone wrong, all the frustrations that we felt over certain issues. And so when those things come up again, our tendency is to pull back all of that stuff that we've associated emotionally. And it works the same way, whether positive or negative, right? There are some people who peaked in high school, right? They were at their best as a sophomore, and it was never going to get any better. And consequently, it just never gets any better. Because emotionally, it's like, oh, it'll never get any better than that. Well, you're right. You're declaring that over yourself right now, you know? We see things through an emotional state, and in essence, we make what we believe the thing that we see, right? So if we're looking at it through our emotions, if I'm expecting to see some fear in a situation, if I'm fearful of what the outcome is going to be, I'm going to be looking at it very differently than if I'm looking at it in confidence. And I know what the outcome is. It's going to be great. I'll approach that conversation very differently. This emotional memory kind of thing can be a big killer in relationships, especially if we've been hurt or we've been confused by something. We can bring all that stuff back up. And in reality, all of that stuff is very different than the moment that we're having right now. If I've been hurt in the past, that's the past. That's not my now. My now is very different. I may even be talking to a different person in a different state, in a different city. That's not then. That's now. I've said this before, and I think it bears repeating, that it's about determining to see in the spirit of something. We can choose that. And if we also understand that there is no time or distance in the spirit, then we can actually get healing. We can speak into those things that are back there. Chronologically, in our real world, they're already done. But in the spirit, there's no time or distance, so we can still speak to them. It's a totally different dimension, right? So if I'm needing healing from something, Jesus is here with me right now. The healer is here. But the healer has always been. and he will always be. So I can speak to that and say, Jesus, that was hurtful in my past, and I am suffering now because of it. Lord, I ask you, you're there right now. Can you heal that? I receive your healing from that moment so that I can live this moment fully present and fully aware. Because the moment that we have is now. It's that brings up a whole Spaceballs thing. When is now? It'll be soon. It's later. The moment that we have is now. It's the only moment that we have, like, to walk in. You know, we've got this. The future isn't here. The past is already done. If we need healing from it, ask Jesus to do that. Ask the Holy Spirit to go and do that. But my now is the part I'm concerned with. And getting back to the whole issue of our spiritual authority, God wants me to live in now so I can take authority over now and set up a better later, right? I need to bring, it's up to us to bring into line our now with the Word of God and with what He has planned for our lives, because that's not just about us. It's about, and speaking about relations, speaking about marriage in particular, it's not just about this moment and getting over an argument. It's about the kids that come from this marriage and the grandkids and all the people they marry and how exponentially everything grows, right? And if I can take control and take authority over this now and claim it for the Lord, then their later is better, right? I set things on a course that goes, that's straight and true, so that they can, as Bill was mentioning when we were praying for Rebecca, so that they can be trained up in the way they should go. And then when we're older, they won't depart from it, right? So, we have a real, I do anyway, sometimes have a real issue with recreating a then. Then God wants me to live in the now. And in order to do that, we really need to see each other after the Spirit, determined to see each other after the Spirit. I don't want for that to be one of those words that we just throw around and everybody's like, well, that's great, but it means several different things to several different people. So in the purposes of this morning, when I'm saying see one another after the Spirit, what I'm saying is determining and choosing to look at each person that you meet and consider what God says about that person. If I'm looking, the Word of God, that's the Spirit, right? The Word of God is empowered by the Spirit. Without the Spirit, it's just words on a page, right? So when I'm looking at someone after the Spirit, what I'm saying here is determine to look at people and get God's eyes for them. Say, God, you created them. You created them. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. You created them to rule and reign. You didn't create junk, God. You didn't create this, whatever it is that I'm attributing to them because I'm frustrated and I'm looking at them and determining who they are. I don't get to determine who somebody is. I don't get to. That's not my job. My job is to get in line with God and say, God, who did you create them to be? Because I want to treat them like that. We end up lowering our expectations for people when we treat them like we see them in our natural eyes, right? I can never see somebody as good as God does. Even if they're my very, 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 very super best friend, Jennifer, I can't. I love you and I see amazing things in you, but I still don't see you as good as God sees you in my natural eyes. When I look at you in the Spirit, it's a very different thing. You're an overcomer. You know, I'm just going to talk to Jen for a minute. It's going to be fun. But you're an overcomer. You have the power to change the world flowing through you. You have wisdom. You have discernment. You have incredible giftings that the world has yet to see, but they will. And I see that. I see those things in you through the Spirit. If I get too much into the flesh, then we just talk about what we're doing through the day. And that's not always fun, right? That's not the best thing that we could be doing for each other. But when we determine to see each other by God's definition of them, then we bypass all of the judgment that comes from not only the annoying thing that that person is doing at the moment, because people can be annoying, but also all of the baggage that I'm carrying into this moment from the past. If I determine to see you as God defined you, then we bypass all of that junk And I can then begin to declare, like Jennifer was talking about, I can then begin to declare the word of God for you when I see you as he sees you. If I'm just seeing you through my eyes, then I'm just declaring like human stuff over you, and it might be encouraging and it might be really nice, but it's not going to be life-giving and it's not going to be sustaining. So we need to determine to see one another after the Spirit and to allow God's definition to become our definition for each person that we meet. And what we find here is that when God, oh my gosh, okay, going back to Ezekiel 36:27, God said, I'll put my Spirit in you and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. We can't change anyone. We can't change what they do. We can't change how they act. We can't change what they like or what they don't like. That's not even up to us, right? We're in control of our thoughts, our attitudes, our actions. That's it. I can't control anybody else. But God says in Ezekiel 36:27, I'll put my Spirit in you and I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. The Spirit of God is the only thing that can change a person's heart. We know this, right? The Spirit of God is the only thing that can change a person's heart. And when two or more are in agreement over anything, then it's done. So if I really desire change for myself, or if somebody's hurting and I really desire a heart change for them so that their life can be better, then what I really need to do is ask, Lord, fill that person with your Spirit. Open up the windows of heaven, pour out your Spirit into them. Bring them to a place, Father, where the guard is down, where the walls are down, where the fear is cast away, so that they can receive the Spirit of God into them, and so that you can begin to show them who they are. And when we see that an eternal, omnipotent, omniscient God knows us and loves us and sees who we are and has a plan for us, then we change and we rise to be worthy of that calling. If that has happened for you in your life because of your relationship with Jesus, raise your hand. If you have risen up, not because of anything that you did, but because there was a God who loved you and you knew that he had better things for you and you wanted to be that, raise your hand if that's you. Man, he changes lives. He changes lives. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. The word of our testimony that overcomes the world, right? Oh, man. I want to share one more quick thing. Oh, I took notes about a weird dream that I had where I won't tell you that. I'll just give you the last line of my dream before I woke up and just let you fill in all the blanks. So this is like Monday. I'm not going to tell the whole dream. That'd be weird. But so backtrack a little bit. In my dream, I'm riding a bicycle through a crowded airport and giving Bill Vanderbush a hug. And he's telling me about his Sleep Number bed that he just got. And then Bill Hart comes walking by and says, what are you doing? We got a service at 10 p.m. Get dressed. And then I woke up. And I'll just let you fill in the rest. It was a weird dream. There's got to be something spiritual in there. There's got to be. Otherwise, it's just awkward. I want to go back really quickly here to Ephesians 4. Verse 2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient and accept each other with love. You are joined together with peace through the Spirit. Do all you can to continue as you are, letting peace hold you together. I'm not saying this is something that might happen to you later on. I'm just going to quote this and declare it over you. You are joined together in peace by the Spirit. You are. And I'm declaring this not just over you as an individual, because you're in a world where it's really hard to get away from people and you're in relationship with all of them. So I'm declaring this now over your relationships. And any place where you feel like, oh, that's actually not accurate, you have authority. Make it accurate. Declare a different thing, right? Establish a new normal and declare from this moment on, I'm declaring this over this relationship, all right? You are joined together with peace through the Spirit. Do all you can to continue as you are, letting peace hold you together. You are joined together by the Spirit. Picture that relationship that's problematic. I'm declaring this over that. You are joined together in peace through the Spirit. So do all that you can to remain that way, to remain joined together in peace, letting peace hold you together. Now, how differently would several situations that I've been in, Jennifer and I have been in, if I would have made this my default instead of responding the way that just seemed right to me at the time, you know? Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, that's hardly ever the right way. Hardly ever. But if, how much different would my relationships look if I really internalized this? You know what? I'm joined together in peace with you through the Spirit. So I'm going to get out of the flesh and get into the Spirit because that's where the peace is. And I'm going to allow peace to hold us together. I'm not going to rise up in anger. I'm not going to let confusion. I'm not going to let doubt. I'm not going to let the voice that's constantly over here saying, you know what? You should really be a little bit angry about that. Don't you think? That's never a good voice to agree with. You know what? You should really tell them off. I don't know why I'm doing this. There's no one actually over here. It's just my hand. But there's always that voice because the enemy has no creative power. That's your domain. So if he wants to see anything done on the earth, he's got to convince you to get on board. Right? You hold the cards. All he can do is say, you know what? I think you wouldn't want to buy anything, would you? But you know what I think? I think maybe you should be really angry about that. You should probably tell him. You should probably, you know, fire off that really nasty email and regret it later. You should probably do that. You know what? You know what I heard about so-and-so? You should probably tell someone whose business it isn't. Because that would be really fun because you know something, right? You want to show how smart you are. When we get into agreement with stuff like that, we give creative power to it. We empower the enemy and we start creating an atmosphere that God never intended. And I got to say, I think I'm going to close with this. That, oh my goodness. Yeah, the enemy doesn't have any creative power, but you do. God gave it to you. So the enemy can't make things happen in your life, but he can convince us into making his plans happen. Because we do see manifested what we come into agreement with and we declare. God set it up that way. He said the things that you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Things you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He designed it so that we have the authority in Christ. God wants us to step into his thoughts for us. Remember last week with Dale Gentry? Wasn't that amazing? God wants us to step into his thoughts for us and to step into his thoughts about other people so that we can come into agreement with that and we can declare it over all of our relationships because it is all relationships, right? I want to share one last thing because it was very encouraging to me, especially for this week. So I was sitting there in the front row, which is weird for me anyway, because I'm like a second row guy. But yeah. Ooh, represent. So I was sitting on the front row and Dale was speaking. And every time Dale starts speaking, there's a moment where I feel like he's looking at me precisely at the moment when he's like, it's like that moment where, you know, you need to start thinking the thoughts that God is thinking about you. You've been thinking your own thoughts too long. And I don't know if he's actually looking at me or not, but it feels like he is. I'm like, I know. I am so sorry. Thank you, Lord. But he was talking, how many of you that were here last week wrote something down? God was speaking to you and you wrote something down. Did you find that it was, that's God. He's speaking that to me right now. Wasn't it awesome? How awesome was that? I want to share mine with you. Okay? So I was praying. It's simple because I only have one gear. So I was praying and I said, okay, Lord, what would you, and before I finish, I'm praying in my head, but God's already bypassed it. I know. I don't need to wait on language. I got this already. So I said, God, what is it that you want to, and in my head and in my heart, I just heard, you can do this. And it seems so simple. And it seems like, something that we should think anyway. But God knows that when I get up to speak to you guys, sometimes I'm not sure. When I'm going through my, my regular life, that's something, that's a voice that I hear all the time. Just to be transparent, that's a voice that I hear a lot. Like, I don't think you can do this. Don't you think you should really reconsider? Maybe you should just back out. Maybe you should stop. But to hear, to say, God, what is it that you want to say to me? And the very first thing that I hear is, you can do this. And that's a word you can live a life on. You can do this. And as he was, so are we to be in this world. So in our relationships, in our marriages, in our workplace, in our families, we need to continually let the Spirit of peace keep us together. And we do that by saying, God, what is it that you want to say? What do you want to declare? What do you want to declare? Because chances are it's probably very simple, but it's probably something that's very deep and meaningful. And it's probably something that won't divide, but it'll bring people together,